deportation. A child comes home from school to find that her parents are not there. And it turns out they've been deported. They're not citizens, she is. The family is split apart. Imagine the terror of being a child coming home from school and you can't find your parents, and finally it comes to you that they've been deported to some country that you, where you've never been and that you know nothing about and have no way of easily getting to. And if you do get to it, you have to uproot your whole life and go to that other country. Think about the terror of that. And I have to say, this calls to mind for me slavery days for black people. The slave owners had absolutely no respect, as I've said, for the humanity of the slaves, including their families. They would repeatedly sell little children out from underneath their parents to another slave owner somewhere else if it were more profitable to sell them to Mississippi. Say you had a plantation in Virginia, and rather than exploiting that slave, raising them up and then putting them to work at an early age on your own plantation, it were more profitable to sell them to someone in Mississippi. That's what you would do, and the tears of the mothers and fathers of those children meant nothing to you. You know the expression, sold down the river. But do people know where that comes from? It comes from this experience of slaves being shipped down the Mississippi and other rivers, including children being ripped away from their parents. And I think of that when I think of a situation of immigrants and families split apart with deportation.
Hello and welcome to the R&L Revolution Nothing Less show. And my name is Annie Day. I am joined by one of the co-hosts of this show via Zoom, Sansara Taylor.
Annie, I'm so glad to be with you. And I want to welcome everybody who's tuning in. The Revolution Nothing Less show is a show about an actual revolution. That is the overthrow of the system of capitalism, imperialism, this system that rules over the people here in this country and has caused such horror and intensifying terror against the people of the world and the people here. We are fighting for an actual revolution and a whole new way to live, a fundamentally different system. We base ourselves on the leadership and the new communism that's been forged by the revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian, an extraordinary revolutionary leader like no other in the world today. You will hear from him in today's episode, and we'll be talking more about him as we go.
Before we get to our show, I just want to say today is June 19th. That is Juneteenth. This has become a holiday that commemorates the end of the final people that had been enslaved in Texas who found out that the Civil War had been ended months after slavery was abolished. And I just, you know, here we are having this discussion in 2025, and we're seeing the roots and the legacy of that slave system, of that Confederacy, in the fascist regime of Donald Trump, terrorizing the people of the whole world. And as we record today, Israel is raining down American-made bombs on the people of Iran. Fascist Trump has threatened the entire population of Tehran, the capital, with evacuation. He's threatened to assassinate the leader of Iran, and the situation is incredibly dire and in flux. But we want to start, and we'll say more about that in today's episode, but we want to start by talking about something beautiful that happened this past weekend.
Yeah, that's right. This past Saturday, in big cities and small towns and little hamlets in over 2,000 places across this country and around the world, including in Washington, D.C., where people were told, don't go into the streets, we saw beautiful outpourings of protest, of opposition, of denunciation of Donald Trump and his fascist regime. And it really matters. We want to start by showing sort of a mashup that refusefascism.org put together of some of the media coverage and some of the on-the-ground feel of the protest in Washington, D.C.
Telling people not to go didn't work. Warning people not to go didn't work. And a lot of people have been wrong about that, including me. I sat here last week, all earnest and serious, telling you, as if it was true, that there definitely was going to be no protest in Washington, D.C. this weekend, that protesters would be everywhere else in the country, but they definitely wouldn't be in Washington, D.C. Boy, I was wrong.
Today, we defied Donald Trump's threats.
The No Kings protest organizers had in fact said no, they were not going to protest in Washington. They were going to protest everywhere else but there. But plenty of people protested there in very large numbers.
But some of them said if you protest in D.C., Trump might declare martial law.
Just outside the perimeter, thousands gathered to protest.
More than 1,000 people gathered at Logan Circle, now marching down towards the White House. But they felt passionate about being specifically here in D.C. peacefully to make sure that the White House hears their opposition.
President Trump told reporters last week that protesters would be met with heavy force.
I am here today here in D.C. is because he threatened us.
Like, how crazy?
Roseanne Rodriguez is a veteran who served with the 82nd Airborne.
I have a right protected by the Constitution that says I can be out here.
There is currently a march and protest taking place in Washington, D.C. They are marching toward the White House right now. Now, it's being put on by an organization called Refuse Fascism. As you can hear, they're shouting, Trump must go now.
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 We are bringing in the message that we need to take our protest from just politically opposing Trump to demanding that the regime be removed from power nonviolently, but in massive numbers until we overwhelm this country with our determined nonviolent protest and resistance demanding that he be removed from power, and such that there is enough backbone of those in the halls of power that they move to make that happen.
I tell my fellow veterans, yes, we have been hurt. Yes, we have. But please, look at the full picture. Look at how the Constitution's being trashed. Look how our politicians are being arrested. And now he wants to have a military parade? Really? You know, that's something you'll see in North Korea or China or Russia. This man is unhinged and needs to be removed from office.
See the crowd finally dispersing. They just marched back from the White House to their original location. Hundreds of people marched and protested today. It was very successful, according to the organizers, and it was purposefully peaceful. This is Jackie Coppell for News.
What's your message?
The message is the people have the f***ing power. Don't forget it. Like, we cannot be kowtowed by Trump's bullshit and threats. We're here to demonstrate otherwise.
I love it. Are you worried about being met with heavy force?
No, we're the heavy force.
Look, I love where that video ends, where the woman says, we're the heavy force. And you see this. This is millions and millions of people came out. And I want to emphasize that this happened in the wake of what has been, first of all, 4 months, 5 months of just absolute fascist atrocity, full speed ahead by this regime, the Trump fascist regime. But the last 10 days, 2 weeks have been like an escalation within this acceleration. And we saw it started with the absolutely terroristic ICE raids, rounding up mass raids and sweeps and disappearances, kidnappings of immigrants out of courthouses. The ones who are showing up to do the right thing, workplace raids, families torn apart, screaming and sobbing in front of cameras just to watch unmarked vans close on their loved ones. This is happening on a mass scale all over the country. Then there's the deployment when people protest this of federalized National Guards in the streets of Los Angeles. There's the sending in of the Marines. There's Donald Trump directly threatening, very big force, directly threatening any protest that happens of his military parade in the nation's capital on the 14th last weekend.
And if there's any protest that wants to come out, they will be met with very big force. By the way, for those people that want to protest, they're going to be met with very big force. And I haven't even heard about a protest.
So this was just fascist escalation and threat and intimidation by the day, marching, escalating, raising the stakes, arresting and assaulting Democratic Party leaders, threatening the arrest of others. The morning of July 14th of these mass protests itself in Minnesota, two Democratic Party leaders were shot. One was assassinated together with her husband, and one was shot together with his wife. And the killer was at large, and the governor, Tim Walz of Minnesota, said, stay home, cancel the protest. It's not safe. And 80,000 people came out, according to the organizers, in St. Paul, Minneapolis, in defiance. So you saw people standing up everywhere, this very big force. And what you see in these protests, this beautiful sea of humanity, this outpouring of people's righteous fury and refusal to be cowed and intimidated, is a potential, the one force in this country that is powerful enough to defeat a fascist America, the one force in this country that is powerful enough to really stop Donald Trump and his program dead in its tracks. If this goes forward, and part of what came forward in D.C., I was on the ground there and helped lead the protests that refusefascism.org held there in defiance of Trump's direct threats and in defiance of the official movement telling everybody don't protest in D.C. And over 1,000 people, maybe 2,000 people came out there. One of the big messages, probably the key message we were sending there, is this opposition, in order to defeat this fascism, needs to go from general opposition and even heroic, courageous, selfless struggle against this or that aspect of the Trump fascist program to raising the demand that the fascist Trump regime must go now, and making that demand a pit bull goal that we will not stop until we achieve it. And the way to achieve it is to continue to call for these masses of people in their millions and growing numbers in nonviolent but determined, uncompromising, sustained protest and resistance until we create the level of profound political crisis in this country where Trump cannot impose his fascist program, where he cannot govern this country, where he cannot hold on to the reins of power, where he is deposed through the mass nonviolent protest and actions of the masses of people. And that is the message we were sending. And that is what you see the potential for in these outpourings. And it's why it's so important. And it's why she's right. We are the very big force if we dare to be.
So I want to talk more about this last weekend, but just for a minute, can you tell us then, to that end, what are the plans that Refuse Fascism is calling for next?
Yeah, so refusefascism.org has said, continue to stand up everywhere against everything that Trump is doing, against all of his atrocities, every day, everywhere, nonviolently, but you know, with build on what's been going on and raise the demand, the fascist Trump regime must go now. Trump must go now. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. That has to be the watchword of millions, and it can be in a period like this. But then on July 1st through the 4th, we are calling on people, refusefascism.org is calling on people to converge on the nation's capital, to come from across the country, from as far as you need to, as close as you might be, come and stay. And what we're trying to do is have, I said, we need sustained protest and resistance. It needs to build and grow. We're trying to model that day after day of protest for 5 days. And we're going to go to different sites. Maybe there'll be a day where veterans stand up and say, well, you know, no, in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. Trump must go now, and stands against the crimes that this country has carried out and is backing right now with Israel against Iran and against the people of Gaza. Maybe we'll have a day against the vicious white supremacy. Here we are on Juneteenth, and they've been banning the books that teach about the history of this country and its vicious white supremacy and slavery. And they've been purging what is even DEI and just open racism and firings. And they're taking over the African American Smithsonian Museum in D.C. Maybe we'll have a day there. We're going to have days around different dimensions of Trump's crimes, but on July 4th, it will build. Each day will build. But July 4th, which is this country's holy holiday, it is the most important holiday that this system celebrates. Their system, patriotism, flag waving. Everybody's supposed to be united behind America. On this day in the nation's capital, we want the world to see thousands and thousands of people, maybe more, amassed together in their diversity and their unity, raising the biggest chant ever, saying, no, Trump must go now. That's what the world should see. Not a celebration, no jingoism and patriotic falling behind Trump. Those who think it's a patriotic duty to stand up to him, come and be there. Those who are against everything this country has ever stood for, come and be there. We are going to let the world see this. And by being in the nation's capital on this high holiday of the system, we want the world to see our determination and our refusal to accept this. And we want to call forward the continuing protest on a whole different level. This very big force of the masses of people to take up this demand and to continue to fight for it nationwide.
So people should go to refusefascism.org to learn more, to sign up and get involved. I think the stakes of this and sending this message, exactly as you said, from the Capitol and across the country couldn't be higher. Just let me ask you one more question about this last weekend. And, you know, you kept hearing every media commentator, this was a split screen, and it was a split screen America. Can you talk more about the significance of that?
Yeah, the split screen was, on the one hand, Donald Trump sitting there in the stands, the viewing stands, watching his military parade go by. And on the other side of the screen was the protest, the masses of people all across this country, and in particular, the protest in D.C., as well as the protest in Minnesota that took a tremendous amount of courage as well. And we have to remember that what Donald Trump was going for was to show the world his military, a military loyal not to the Constitution, not to the rule of law, but to Trump personally. At the very time he was trying to intimidate everybody out of standing up in the streets, and especially in D.C., and he had deployed this military in the streets of Los Angeles against the people of this country. And he's threatening, and his Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, head of Homeland Security, is threatening to use this military, explicitly saying this military, this is what she said in her press conference, this military is in D.C. to liberate
LA.
This military is in Los Angeles to liberate Los Angeles and California of their elected Democratic government. So Trump wanted all of this to have cowed the population and put this military on display to terrorize the people further in this country and the people of the world, to say, no one will question me. No one will stand in my way. I've got it all rolled up. And instead, what the world saw was Donald Trump sitting here in his viewing stand as this military parade, which didn't turn out to be as impressive and as awe-inspiring as he had hoped, but even more important, he had to share the screen with millions and millions of people in this country, including in all the little quote unquote red hamlets and towns and small parts of the country, saying, F you, Donald Trump, you don't speak for me. We hate you. We find you foul and disgusting. You're violating everything we think is good about this country. You're violating everything we think is decent. And they have a lot of heart. And a lot of courage to stand up to that. And it was not a good look for Trump in the eyes of the world. It did not portray strength on his side. And so I think that there's two things I would draw from this. And it's extremely important that we grasp both of them. On the one side, and I spoke of this more, you saw the potential force here of the people that could actually stop this fascism, defeat this fascism, and drive this regime from power. Yes, nonviolently, but yeah, oust the regime. On the other side, you saw a regime that is still in power, that was very, very lashing out already and politically challenged in a way that now they're going to feel even more necessity and compelled on their end to lash out further, to double down, to ratchet up their terror and their moves to consolidate their fascism. And so what we saw is the battle has been joined and actually raised on both sides. And events are accelerating. And the need Trump is going to feel, and you're already seeing this from him, the need for his side to accelerate, to try to crush this and get ahead of it. And our side is going to have to step it up just as much and even more, and even more with even more clarity that the whole regime must go, which again brings us back to the importance of staying in the streets in opposition in many different ways, but then converging in the nation's capital and converging with the demand that the regime must be removed from power on July 1st through the 4th in a way that radiates across the country and gives strength to the opposition and radiates around the world and actually ushers in a new level of struggle that continues from there.
Yeah, and just one more thing I want to build off on last weekend is just to underscore what you said about the importance of people losing their fear. And you've seen it in the streets of LA and across the country, the recognition that the violence of this system, and in particular the fascist regime, is completely illegitimate, and a courage and a defiance in the face of that. And those are things to really learn from and appreciate and build on and expand and exactly link up to the recognition that we have a historic mission to drive this regime from power with that demand that the Trump fascist regime must go now. So I think we have to talk then about the what you're saying about the way things are getting joined. And you know, you had this beautiful outpouring last weekend, and you have this fascism ramping up. So let's just, you know, I think take a minute to walk through some of the dimensions of that.
Yeah, I think, first of all, Donald Trump has now doubled and tripled down on his ICE terror and his raids. Not only has he took a pause for half a day and thought, maybe I'll rethink this towards the agricultural workers and the restaurants and this sort of thing, because sectors of business were very upset with him. But he said, nah, f*** it, we're doing it anyhow. And the terror has continued and escalated. He is more explicitly targeting Democratic-run cities. And he stepped up his arrests and threats against Democratic officials. I mean, we just saw yesterday morning in New York City, Brad Landers, who is the city controller and also a mayoral candidate, was nonviolently escorting an immigrant to his immigration hearing in a courthouse. And ICE didn't just kidnap the immigrant, but arrested Brad Landers. And as he pointed out while it was going on, ICE does not have the legal authority to arrest a U.S. citizen. This is illegal. This is illegal. Didn't matter. Didn't matter that he's an elected official. Didn't matter that it was illegal. He was taken away and dragged off. And this comes on the heels of other arrests and assaults.
Well, I think we should watch the video of that arrest that you're talking about and his speech afterwards. And then let's go to the video of Senator Alex Padilla, the California senator, and his speech just this week to Congress, where he talked about the detainment he suffered when he tried to ask Kristi Noem a question in a press conference, and what his message is.
I will let go when you show me the judicial warrant.
Where is it?
Sir, where is the warrant?
I have my hand here.
Let go.
I would like to
let go.
Take it back.
You don't have authority to arrest U.S. citizens.
Sir, you don't have the authority to arrest U.S. citizens.
At that elevator, I was separated from someone named Edgardo, who I had just met a couple of minutes earlier. Edgardo is in ICE detention. He has been stripped of his due process rights. I will be fine, but Edgardo is not going to be fine. And the rule of law is not fine, and our constitutional democracy is not fine.
You've seen the video. I was pushed and pulled, struggled to maintain my balance. I was forced to the ground. First on my knees, and then flat on my chest. And as I was handcuffed and marched down a hallway, repeatedly asking, why am I being detained? Not once did they tell me why. I pray you never have a moment like this. This administration's officials, and maybe not all, but many Republicans in Congress may choose not to do their job, but they cannot stop me from doing mine. And I refuse to let immigrants be political pawns on his path towards fascism. Again, if you really think this is just about immigrants and immigration, it's time to wake up. What's happening is not just a threat to California, it's a threat to everyone in every state. If Donald Trump can bypass the governor and activate the National Guard to put down protests on immigrant rights, he can do it to suppress your rights too. If he can deploy the Marines to Los Angeles without justification, he can deploy them to your state too. And if he can ignore due process, strip away First Amendment rights, and disappear people to foreign prisons without their day in court, he can do it to you too. Because California is just a test case for the rest of the country. Last week, for many, was a warning shot. But I pray that it also serves as a wake-up call. We've now seen, since Thursday, we've now seen Trump threaten to do the same in other cities run by elected Democrats. He's saying the quiet part out loud. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. We all have a responsibility to speak up and to push back before it's too late. So I do encourage people to keep peacefully protesting.
Once again, let me remind you that you are listening to The Michael Slate Show.
Look, it is really foul and really chilling what was done to Senator Padilla. And you hear it in his voice when he recounts that the level of humiliation and cruelty and what he said when he got out, and he said it again in this speech, if that's what's being done to a U.S. senator, simply for asking a question when the cameras are all on him, think what's happening to the farm worker right now. Think what's happening to the cooks and the dishwashers and the people who nobody, who in the shadows where the cameras are not. This is a form of terror, and he's right to call it fascism. You know, so this is a very powerful statement he gave. And I think we have to take stock. People for months now and maybe for longer, and they should have been for longer, have been furious with the Democratic Party, because it has been utterly MIA in terms of standing up to what Trump is doing. It's capitulated. It's in disarray and mealy mouthed. It's not doing anything. And there are reasons for that. This Democratic Party, as a party, it's an instrument. It's loyal to the system. It's a ruling class party. It's an instrument of the system. And it values the stability of this system more than it opposes this fascism and the upheaval that it would take to really fight to defeat this fascism. And that's where they sit as a party. But there has been a way that the atrocities of this regime, have become so serious, so grotesque, so offensive to at least some within the Democratic Party. The violation of the rule of law, the separation of powers, due process, all of this, and that combined with the fact that masses have stood up and demonstrated courage and conviction and opposition, this has actually compelled some of these Democratic Party leaders to step out in a way that we've never seen before. And this is very significant in terms of the big changes that are afoot.
I think this dynamic is very important for people to understand, and also how this shows the potential to actually drive this regime out. The more that there is splintering from within their institutions, at the same time as we can't rely on those. And just briefly, I want to point people to a social media message from Bob Avakian where he speaks to the dynamics of this. It's Revolution Number 119, and it's titled, "Democratic Party Politicians May Contribute to the Crucial Struggle Against Trump MAGA Fascism, but the Democratic Party will not and cannot lead this struggle where it needs to go." And the dynamics of that, people have to understand that if they're going to see the possibility to actually drive this regime out, in the fact that this system is not a monolith, that the rulers of this system are not a monolith, and that there can be cracks and divides wrenched open further through the force of the masses of people exactly acting from below. One of the other aspects of this fascist onslaught is a Supreme Court ruling that took place this week against trans youth, where basically the Christian fascist majority in the court said it was okay to prevent trans youth from getting gender-affirming care, any kind of medical care, to exist as a trans person. And this is vicious, and it's a dark ages part of the dehumanization and the purging of the existence of the ability for trans people to live, and it's part of the violent enforcement of this ugly patriarchal gender norms on all of society,
and the legitimization of theocratic Christian fascist overruling of science and medicine and basic rights and humanity. And it means in a very immediate sense that I think there's bans in of approximately half the states in this country that are now going to be greenlit. States. So this has life and death consequences immediately for countless trans youth. It comes on the heels of the U.S. military purging trans members, thousands of trans members of the military. This is absolute dehumanization, absolute erasure of rights, and saying this is a section of people who we should not protect at all, and who horrific things can be done to, and it's part of an accelerating. You know, they say first they came for this group, then they came for this group. Well, first they're coming for the trans people and the immigrants, and it's part of something that is very chilling if it's not stopped. So this is a big leap, and it is definitely part of why this regime must go now. But it's not the only thing that's happened. So then we also have another court. Look, these fascists, and Trump was a big part of this in his first term, packed the courts, the federal courts, with fascist judges. They packed the Supreme Court and the federal circuit courts at different levels. So now we have a ruling that came in that said that the National Guard will be allowed to stay in Los Angeles in violation of the governor's wishes, in violation of any legitimate cause for them to be there. This is normalizing and sanctioning the deployment of the military on U.S. soil. It was carried out by Trump, but the courts just said, we're not going to do anything to stop this. So this is a very big leap as well.
The last thing I think we have to bring in here is what's happening in Iran. And with this, we want to go to a video from Rafael Kadaris, who's a national leader of the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity, where he breaks this down.
Trump just called for Iran to surrender, discussed the possibility of killing Iran's supreme leader, and ordered the entire city of Tehran to evacuate. First of all, who the is Donald Trump to be issuing threats and orders to a country 6,000 miles away? He's a fascist, imperialist, maniac who, as Bob Avakian put it, believes that
raw destructive power is what must rule in the international arena without even the pretense of adherence to international law or concern about the sovereignty or even the right to exist of less powerful peoples and countries.
But let's break this down more. This past Friday, unprovoked and without warning, Israel launched a brutal war of aggression against Iran, beginning with some military targets, but quickly expanding into mass terror, overwhelmingly targeting civilians, hitting residential buildings, hospitals, even blowing up the state television while they were live on air. This is Tara Hajimiri, an 8-year-old girl who was killed by an Israeli attack. Civilians are also being hit in Israel right now, and we oppose all targeting of civilians. But let's be clear, Israel is the aggressor in this war. Israel has killed 10 times as many civilians in Iran and has openly declared that Tehran will burn. Israel has targeted civilians in Lebanon, Yemen, and Syria, and Israel is continuing its genocidal slaughter of over 60,000 civilians in Gaza, massacring hungry people as they try to get food. If you defend civilian life and oppose war crimes, you need to oppose the rogue terrorist state of Israel and the U.S. imperialists who are backing all of this. Israel claims Iran's nuclear program poses an existential threat. But the fact is, Iran doesn't have nuclear weapons. But you know who does? Israel. And you know who backs Israel? The only country ever to use nuclear weapons, the USA, which is right now being ruled by a demented fascist with his finger on the nuclear button. So what is this really about? It's about Israel and the US moving even more fully to dominate and control the Middle East. To be clear, Iran is ruled by an oppressive theocratic regime. But Israel and the US have no right to violate the sovereignty of other countries. Think about Trump's order to evacuate Tehran, a city bigger than New York City.
How can a city, a metropolis of 10 million people suddenly evacuate, and to where? I mean, this is, we're talking about women, children, the disabled, elderly, sick people. How can people just get up and go? The very few, and I would say maybe the lucky few who have homes or family or access to places outside of Tehran who have tried to leave the city in the past few days have been stuck in very, very congested traffic of roads trying to get out of the city. And gas stations have very long lines.
And right now, the Trump regime is reportedly considering bombing Iran with 30,000-pound bunker buster bombs, which would bring the U.S. directly into the war. Israel's attack on Iran and Trump's deranged threats not only endangers the Iranian people, but could quickly spiral into a larger regional and even world war involving imperialist powers with thousands of nuclear weapons, which could bring an end to humanity. We RevComs stand in strong solidarity with our comrades in Iran, the Communist Party of Iran, MLM, who are continuing to work for a people's revolution against the Islamic Republic, and at the same time standing firmly against the vicious fascism of Israel and U.S. imperialism. Read their statement at RevCom.us. Stop Israel's war of aggression against Iran. No to Trump's threats against Iran. The Trump fascist regime must go now. This whole system is rotten and illegitimate. We need and we demand a whole new way to live, a fundamentally different system. As the revolutionary leader Bob Avakian put it,
we can no longer afford to allow these imperialists to dominate the world and to determine the destiny of humanity. They need to be overthrown as quickly as possible.
And it is a scientific fact that we do not have to live this way.
As he just said, this has to be opposed. There has to be mass resistance against this. Now, it may be that by the time this show airs, the U.S. is bombing Iran. This cannot be allowed to stand. It is so extremely dangerous for the people of the world. And we have to stand up, especially in this country, and say, no, not in our name. This must stop. We refuse to accept a fascist America. Yes, in the name of humanity. And I just think taking all this together, this horror show of what the U.S. is doing in the and backing Israel in the Middle East, the shredding of the rule of law on every front. Again, there has to be, we have to fight each of these particulars. But we actually, if we cannot just fight on the back foot, we have to take on the whole thing.
Yeah, this is why going on the political offensive, what refusefascism.org is calling for, to demand the whole regime must go. Trump must go now in the name of humanity. We refuse to accept a fascist America. And then I would add, from our perspective here on the Revolution Nothing Less show, people need to, as we unite around that, be digging into what is the roots of this fascism? What is the nature of this country after all? What is the nature of the system that gave rise to this and has no way to curb this fascist atrocity and these outer crimes against humanity that the U.S. is backing against the people of Iran, against the people of Gaza? You have to look at the nature of this system and the alternative that has been brought forward on a scientific foundation that Bob Avakian has brought forward for a whole new way to live in a fundamentally different system and a real strategy for revolution to get there and a society and a future you would want to live in. Where these are really, these kinds of crimes really are no more, not just for people here, but for people all over the world. These are the big questions that people need to be getting into as we stand together to take on and defeat the fascist regime, to drive it from power, and to stop it from carrying out these crimes right now in the most immediate sense. And so I want to, in that light, before we wrap up this conversation, just return to July 1st, through July 4th, what Refuse Fascism is calling for, which is a massive convergence of the decent people of this country coming to the nation's capital, coming to DC and modeling the kind of sustained ongoing protest and outpourings of opposition that will be required to create the kind of political crisis where the regime is removed, and building and culminating on July 4th, the nation's holiday, the day that 5 years ago Donald Trump went to Mount Rushmore to declare that he should be on Mount Rushmore and to sing the praises of slave owners and genociders against the native people, and to slam and threaten the beautiful uprising that had been going on against the police murder of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and so many other black and brown people. This is Donald Trump took this holiday to slam forward his fascist program, and you better believe he's going to try to do it again this year. And instead, on July 4th, the whole world should see the decent people of this country coming to the nation's capital, converging in front of the White House, raising the biggest chant ever, Trump must go now, and declaring our independence in the name of humanity from Trump's fascist America. And to make that independence real, that means going forward to drive the regime from power. Yes, nonviolently, but not stopping until the regime is removed.
Yes. So be there July 1st through 4th. Go to refusefascism.org and sign up. This is, you know, as you said, on this holiday, this is the message that needs to reverberate, reaching the people of the world. And in line with that, and in line with what you said about opening up then the bigger debate and discussion about where this fascism came out of, what are the roots of this in this system? And you know, looking at what this regime is doing to the people of the world, we thought it would be very appropriate to play a clip from the revolutionary leader Bob Avakian on the great tautological fallacy. This is a speech he gave from a very far-sighted talk on the Trump regime must go, talking about Trump 1.0 in 2017. And the title is The Trump Regime Must Go. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. A better world is possible. So let's watch that.
One of the biggest obstacles standing in the way and weighing people down is American chauvinism. The disgusting notion that America and Americans are better and more important than everybody else. This is a poison infecting people broadly in this country, even among the bitterly oppressed. And there is a great need for people to break with this American chauvinism. Free yourself from the GTF, the great tautological fallacy. A fallacy, an idea or way of thinking that is false, wrong. A tautology, a round in a circle way of reasoning that asserts something and then claims to prove it by merely asserting the same thing again. So the great tautological fallacy to which I am referring is the notion that America is a force for good in the world, and therefore whatever it does is good, or at least done with good intentions, even if the same thing, when done by other forces, especially by forces opposed to us, is bad, is evil, because America is a force for good in the world. Thus, in the grip of the great tautological fallacy, when one is told by the authorities and government and the media, etc., that North Korea developing a small number of nuclear weapons and a few long-range ballistic missiles poses a grave threat, one does not question. One does not ask why that is a grave threat, while the only country ever to use nuclear weapons, the United States, having thousands of nuclear weapons and the capability to use them anywhere in the world, is somehow not a grave threat. Under the influence of the great tautological fallacy, one does not stop to think about the fact that in this situation, North Korea could only be developing this weaponry as an attempt to deter an attack from the United States. For North Korea's leaders know that if they initiated an attack, they would face massive, overwhelming retaliation. And from the point of view of the imperial rulers of the United States, such a possibility of deterrence is precisely the problem, because it could in some measure limit the ability of the U.S. to dominate and dictate. But from childhood, we are indoctrinated with a notion that America is a shining light of freedom, and the President of the United States is the leader of the free world. Well, when has this been true? Was it true during all the years of slavery? Or during the long years of Jim Crow segregation after the Civil War, when thousands of black people were lynched while leering mobs of white racists celebrated, and black people as a whole were subjected to constant terror? Is this a shining light of freedom now, when black people have to take to the streets demanding, "Stop killing us," because the police kill 1,000 people every year, many of them unarmed, especially black people, Latinos, and Native Americans? When millions of women are battered and huge numbers are raped every year in this country, is this a shining light to the world? And what is this free world? Does it include the countries where the U.S. has backed and armed military juntas and other oppressive dictatorships with their bloodthirsty death squads terrorizing the people over the last 100 years and more throughout Latin America and many other parts of the world? Does it include today countries such as Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Turkey, all allies of the U.S. and all ruled by brutally repressive governments? Or what about the Philippines, where the government has carried out the cold-blooded murder of more than 10,000 people within the last year, and the head of state, Duterte, openly boasts of this? Does the free world include Israel, a nuclear-armed state that has occupied Palestinian land in flagrant violation of UN resolutions for 50 years and forcibly maintains over 1 million Palestinian people in Gaza in what amounts to an open-air prison, living barely above survival level and subject to repeated bombardment by Israeli armed forces, which in 2014, with full support from the U.S. government, headed then by Obama, killed over 2,000 people in Gaza, the overwhelming majority civilians, hundreds of them children? Is all this the free world? Once you remove the blinders of the great tautological fallacy, it can be seen that the free world simply means those parts of the world that are under the domination of or are friendly to the United States, no matter how monstrous their ruling classes may be, while the non-free world is made up of those who remain outside of, and especially those who oppose opposition or obstacles to the domination of the U.S. empire. The U.S. government wages war in Africa and Asia, as well as the Middle East, claiming it is fighting to defend civilization against the brutal and murderous Islamic fundamentalist jihadists. But the imperialists of the U.S. are certainly no less brutal and murderous. And the civilization they boast of is literally built on the blood and bones of people all over the world. And why is this Islamic fundamentalism such a force now? Fundamentally, because of the workings of capitalist imperialism itself. Besides the overall role of imperialism in creating more favorable soil for these Islamic fundamentalists, actions of the U.S. imperialists have further fed their growth. In the 1980s, the U.S. actually armed and built up Osama bin Laden and other Islamic fundamentalists to strike at the Soviet Union in Afghanistan. In 2003, in violation of international law, the U.S. invaded Iraq to overthrow the head of government there, Saddam Hussein. This invasion was carried out under the cover of lies that Hussein possessed weapons of mass destruction. This invasion and the occupation of Iraq by American forces that followed caused hundreds of thousands of deaths, set off bloody conflicts among the Iraqi people, and created more fertile ground for Islamic fundamentalist forces. And the same thing happened in Libya. Under the presidency of Barack Obama, and with the insistent urging of then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, the U.S. intervened in a conflict within Libya on the side of forces opposed to the longtime ruler Muammar Gaddafi. With the fall of Gaddafi, which was brought about mainly as a result of massive bombing of his forces by the U.S. and its allies, the rivalries and conflicts within Libya were intensified and Islamic fundamentalist forces gained strength. Or take the case of Iran. In 1953, the CIA engineered a coup that overthrew a popular government that was moving to nationalize the oil of the country so that it could be used for the development of its economy instead of being controlled and plundered by the U.S. and Britain. This coup brought the Shah of Iran to power, and the people of Iran suffered decades of torment and torture at the hands of the Shah and his secret police. And here again, these actions of the U.S. created more favorable ground for the forces of Islamic fundamentalism, which ultimately seized power through the revolution that overthrew the Shah in 1979. These are only a few examples of the American crimes that have been committed and the kinds of consequences that have followed from these crimes in countries all over the world. And all this underlines the crucial importance of casting off the blinders of the great tautological fallacy and breaking with American chauvinism. We need to think about humanity first and above all.
So that was Bob Avakian from a talk from 2017, The Trump-Pence Regime Must Go. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. A better world is possible. And it's worth going online and watching that talk in full. It's profoundly far-sighted. And I have to say, listening to that now, things have only gotten worse. In that message, Bob Avakian is talking about some of the obstacles to people recognizing that fascism can actually happen in this country. No, America is not some great exceptional force, a force for good in the world. That's the tautological fallacy that he rips into. Just look around. Fascism is happening. It's happening here and it's happening now. And just on the two of the particulars he talks about, both looking at Iran and the way in which, the U.S. is literally threatening the extinction of a whole country, a sovereign nation. And then look at what Trump has been backing and what the U.S. imperialist system has been backing in Gaza, a horrific genocide that has continued for 2 years. And just to take 1 minute on this, just on Tuesday, Israel, backed by the U.S., slaughtered 100 people in Gaza, most of whom were going to a food distribution site, which is, in the sick, twisted situation, actually furthering the starvation and the death of people in Gaza. We really can no longer afford to allow these imperialists to dominate the world and determine the destiny of humanity. They do need to be overthrown as quickly as possible. And as Bob Avakian said, it is a scientific fact that humanity does not have to live this way.
And that brings us to the end of another show here at the Michael Slate Show. I'd like to thank Andy Z and everybody at the Revolution Nothing Less Show, my assistant producer, Henry Carson, and all of you for tuning in. And again, check out the RevComs on YouTube at youtube.com/TheRevComs and follow at Bob Avakian Official on all your social media platforms. And remember, the problem is not human nature, it is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. My name is Sansara Taylor. I'll talk to you again next week.
Set out to do. Stand.
There's a cross for you to bear.
Things to go through if you're going anywhere.
Ooh.
Stand for the things you know alright. It's the truth that the truth makes them so alive. Stand.
All the things you want are real.
You have you to complete, and there is no deal.
Stand,
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 stand.
Stand.
You've been sitting too long.
There's a permanent crease in your right and wrong. Stand.
There's a midget standing tall,
and a giant beside him about to fall.
Be